we're going to talk about the birds, mainly about what's going on with the birds mentioned that are not kosher here in the parsha itself. So altogether, there are 20 birds that are mentioned over here. There are 20 birds that are quoted in the Pesukim. They start with Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Eile Tishaktu Mina Oaf, Lo Ye Achlu Shekatim, Ese Nesher, Vese Paras Vazniya, Do'a Aya, Orev, Basiana, etc., etc., etc. The truth is that there's no real way of translating any of these things. Rosham Shmuel Paul Hirsch has the famous parish that says you shouldn't translate the Pesukim. Because the fact is, the only way that we know that a bird is Tameh is if it's mentioned in the Pasuk. Every other bird is kosher. So if you translate the birds and you're wrong, then other people will think, oh, that bird's kosher then. That bird is perfectly fine. You're allowed to eat it. But we don't know which birds these are exactly. Now, a lot of people assume the Nesher is the eagle and the Orev is the raven. And the Basayana is referring to an ostrich.
Study on Nesher being a vulture, not an eagle.
Right, and there's a whole thing about whether or not it's supposed to be Tosfos. Did the first study, wasn't scientific though, in which he says that it can't be an eagle, it's got to be a vulture because it doesn't fit the criteria. There are four criteria that are mentioned regarding an eagle. It doesn't fit the criteria. So even the things that we think are so obvious, Nesher, Orev, Basayana, those things are still a little bit off. So we can make educated guesses, but we can't say for sure that these are the birds that are mentioned in the Pesukim, because we do, then we're going to mess it up for everybody else. So Rosham Shmuel Paul Hirsch says, don't translate any of the words. We can tell you educated guesses, we can tell you different things, but you can't say anything directly, because otherwise you're going to mess up. So our school took that to task. And therefore on the side, they translated as Nesher, Peres, Oznia. But on the bottom, they translated the birds. So kind of took the Rosham Shmuel Paul Hirsch to a different level, but it's like that. And then it seems says that there are some birds that you'll see over here where it says the word Lemina, or Lemino after that. For example, Aya limino, Orev limino, Nates liminehu. So he asks, why is that? I mean, if each one of these birds is referring to a bunch of birds altogether, then why would you mention the word limino by them if their name anyway includes categories of birds? And then it says an amazing thing that really helps explain where all these birds came from. Adam Arishon gave all the names to every type of animal. Now, how did he name the animal? He didn't name the animal by looking at them and seeing what they looked like. That's not what he did. That's not the way Adam Rishon did things. Adam Rishon used Ruach HaKodesh. He's able to look at the animal and see not just the animal, what the animal stood for. What was inside the animal, the penimius is what it's called, of the animal itself. And thus, based on what it's supposed to do in the world, these birds slash animals will go by this name. I don't want to give examples. It's too hard to be able to do, but like the Gamal stands for Gomel Chasadim, like the Hamor stands for Chumri. It's however you want to put it, each animal stands for something. Now, if that's so, then it's going to be drastically different from the way scientists or naturalists will understand different species, and even putting species, different species together. There's a lot of difference between them. For example, we think that there's differences, let's say, between big cats, between lions and tigers and leopards and cheetahs, etc. But the Torah may very well, it's not for sure, but may very well put them all in the same category because they all have the same purpose. They all have one purpose in what they're doing. Some in Africa, some in Asia, some in Europe, some wherever. But since it's the same purpose, it contains the same basic name, which would be Aryeh. The same thing with a pule. An elephant would be that way. And it goes by this as well. A mammal is a mammal in their terms, but not necessarily in the Torah's terms. A whale, if it has the same job as a fish, then will have the name Doug, even though it's not like a fish. It has hair. It gives birth to live young. It nurses its young, even though it has all the characteristics of a mammal, but it doesn't matter. It's still known as a dog because that name fits what it's supposed to do in this world. Its name defines where it is. And it doesn't matter if it's different species, different genuses, different anything. So that's true by everything. And every name, therefore, when we deal with it in Tanakh, could refer to hundreds of species. Not only that, like the word Tinshamas refers to a bat. There are 1,300 species of bats. Pulling out my geek side right now. But there are 1,300 species of bats. They're all included in the word Tinshamas. It's not that, it's like that. Dogim is the famous one. There's no other word for fish aside from maybe Livyasan. Maybe Livyasan. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of species of fish, but they're all under one head name of dog. Oh, you got a dog, and there's another dog, and that's it. You've got no other name for them because they all have the same purpose. That tells you something very interesting about how the way they go.
A dog is aquatic creature. not fish.
But it's not that. Yes and no. The real translation of dog is the opposite of Gomel Dalin. In other words, instead of being Gimel Dalid, which is God, Gomel Dalin, it stands for a dog, which is the opposite way of Dalin Gomel, which means something totally different. Now, again, I don't like going into things like that.
I'm just talking about like...
No, the word.
No, but Gimel. Instead of it refers to all aquatic creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's a whale or a...
Yeah, whether it's a whale or maybe even a sea lion. Maybe even, you want to say it, like an octopus or a squid. They'll all be in the same category because they're all considered in the level of dog. Maybe those will be schwatze, you know, shark salmon. Mind. But either way, regardless, that's the idea behind it. So here's how it goes. Those animals that are similar enough to one another that even the naturalists will agree they are in the same category, that they'll agree they're in the same category, and we agree it's the same category, then it doesn't say the word lemino, or anything by it. It just says the word da'al. Da'al refers to all animals that are in that category, according to them and according to us. But if it's something which does not fit that category according to them, but for us, it fits that category. For example, orev is supposed to include crows and ravens and starlings and anything like that, then it says limino. Kol orev limino. Because by them, by the naturalists, they're totally separate creatures, not just a raven, it's everything. But by us, it's all these things just added together, and thus it says the word limino, not because the Torah needed it, but rather because to tell you that even they who separate their species, who separate them completely, that's that.
Why do they care about them?
It's not necessarily because we care about them. It's to help us understand that these animals are the ones that are tummy and nothing else. So these are the ones that are tummy. We have to know what their names are. There are certain ones that you'll wonder and you'll say, what about them? Don't worry, that's included within this. And there's a third category, by the way. There are certain animals that even though they consider them one, meaning the naturalists will consider it one animal, we consider it separate creatures. Similar to the fact that there's a tarnagol and a tarnagol burrow. A chicken and then a wild chicken. The Torah defines them as two different types of animals, but nonetheless, by them, they're still within the same species, within the same type. That's going to be that way. For something like that, it'll use a different type of translation, something different for that, and then Steve goes on into it, and you can look it up over there. He also translates the difference between lemino, lemina, and leminehu. Why he says each one over there, what are you going to say?
Dogs, like a small, like a poodle and a Doberman, they're the same species, but they're like different.
Exactly. That would be the type of idea where everybody agrees it's the same species, you know, then you go into different types of ideas like that.
There are many different types of chickens. I mean, there are like chickens, the white chickens that you eat.
No, of course.
The chickens that are like used for fighting.
No, yeah. Oh, no, hold on. Those are the same chickens. They're just not being eaten.
No, they're not. They're different.
They're different, but they're the same species. Yeah, they're just different. I mean, come on. Did you know how many... I mean, again, I'm pulling out the geek card over here, but do you know how many cows there are in the world? How many different types of species of cows? There's like three, you know? The black and white ones, and the brown ones, and the red ones. You know, that's that. There's like 900 different species of cows.
These are
subspecies of cows, right? If you go into the bovine family, there's 900 different ones of them. There are 1,300 different types of sheep. That doesn't make any sense to me. But nonetheless, there's tons of them. They breed them. They're crazy. They have all these crazy stuff all over the place. Now, that's just regarding trying to separate these into creatures. That's why we're not going to translate any of these. Now, the Ramban famously says, there are no simanim within the psukim for birds. It doesn't tell you what defines a kosher bird. By animals, we all know it's chewing the cud and split hooves. By a locust, it even has the extra legs and a certain type of body. By fish, we know fins and scales, right? I was very proud of myself because I was about to say skins and fails, but I was able to hold myself back on that one. I was very, very happy. So either way, over here, by the birds, it doesn't say a thing. It's just the ones that are listed are the ones that can't be eaten. The ones that aren't listed are the ones that are going to be perfectly fine. So we have stuff like that. So that we know. Now, the Gemara brings down that there are four simanim of birds. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Samach Gimel, brings down the four simanim. Now, one of them is that a kosher bird cannot be a doris, which means any bird which is carnivorous, whether it eats fish, other birds, or anything like that, even bugs, that bird is automatically not kosher. So if it eats anything like that, automatically it's not considered kosher. That's part of the whole machlokas is about turkeys, even though we're talking that turkeys are kosher. But turkeys are really interesting because they even hunt snakes or they even hunt bugs and stuff like that. They're interesting creatures.
Nonetheless, they eat worms.
Robins, yeah, I think so. Are robins kosher?
I wasn't sure that there's no mesor, but they're probably kosher. I've read that.
Yeah, problem with that. Maybe bugs are not included in that category, but normally they say that it is.
Most birds eat bugs. Yeah, most birds are.
Not most. at most. We're dealing with a lot of, you're dealing with like, you're thinking of like eight birds. You're just like, I'm pretty sure five out of eight. But if you're dealing with like tens of thousands of species, it's not most. Most birds will eat fruit and grass and things like that. They have the ability to within their club. That's the reason why. Well, you know what? Wait, let's get to the next three, because these three are important also. A bird that's kosher has to have something called an extra finger. Now, on their hands, they have like little wings, right? The little wings. Most birds, the carnivorous birds, will have four wings that just allow four fingers within their wings that just go out like that. Kosher birds will have an extra little guy, almost like a thumb. You see it on there. They have that extra little finger that's out there that allows them to have that. They have to have it. They don't have to have it, but if you don't have it, then it's not kosher. Also, kosher birds have to have a crop and have to have a corkable niklop, which means an extra little flap to their stomachs that go on top of them. So there are different things of how a kosher bird is defined and how their stomach works in order for it to be considered kosher. Now, says Ramban, the greatest of the four is a doris, that you can't allow a bird that's a doris. Now, the reason for that is because the blood of such birds is prone to cruelty. Now, I will tell you, I am not translating this exactly from the Ramban. I have no idea how to translate it directly from the Ramban. Mechumam, and all the words that he uses, dumbo, mechumam, and how he translates it, I have no clue how he's saying. I could have looked up the Chevelle, but I was lazy. But regardless, he basically says that the blood of such birds is prone to cruelty, which means it leads you, if you eat them, to have bad mitos. That eating such birds promotes those mitos within you, and you are what you eat. It allows you to become cruel. This idea is echoed by the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, although I don't have a source for this, it's quoted by the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, but I can't find it anywhere. It's probably in Chelek Gimel, when he goes through the different sibos behind the mitzvahs. He goes through and he says it over there.
So kosher is not advisable to eat?
Not kosher. Not kosher, because of that reason, says the Ramban.
We talk about eagles like carrying their young on their backs and how...
Well, let's go into it. I've got a couple. Hold on. We'll get into these a little bit. The Rabbeinu B'chaya adds to this by saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the shvalim. You know, those guys that are like really down. He loves the simplest, the ones that are chased around. He loves those guys. Those are the birds that he loves more than anything else out there. And that's why our korbanos are turtle doves and young pigeons. That's where they come from. And the turtle doves and the young pigeons are the one. He also adds on a crazy answer. He adds on that nichush, you got to loosely translate this. Nichush is basically superstitious practices, but it really is like if the bird goes this way, then I'm going to go to the left. If the bird goes that way, then I'm going to go to the right. Basically, it's like that. Nichush is only able to be done with these birds mentioned in the Torah. Any other bird, it's not nichush, and you can't do nichush with them. It's not a true nichush. It's not a true type of magic that you can get. It's a little crazy thing over here. These birds are able to help the wise men of evil to make their decisions and to allow them to do certain things. Now listen to this. Tahor birds, on the other hand, if you have a bird that's tahor, then it's a completely different issue. A tahor bird is a chokmah to speak to it. If you speak to those types of birds, it's called sichas ofos. It's mentioned that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai knew how to do that in Sukkah, daf chokhes, and that's considered a chokmah and a good thing to do. But dealing with bad birds, with evil birds, that's considered something that can't be done, and that's a little bit different altogether. But that's the reason why the Rabbeinu B'chaya says he can't use them, because they're used for magical purposes, and that's the reason why he adds that on as another reason why he can't eat these birds.
So some of our southern sunflower seeds go to like Devon Avenue and have all the pigeons come out to us.
That's really sick and disgusting. No, I don't want a pigeon anywhere near me.
No.
The pigeon guy, I know. There's always a pigeon girl also. Listen, we don't want to be pigeon men or pigeon women. This is not a good idea.
San Marco Square in Venice, there's like thousands of pigeons. People stand there, and like if you like... take out any bit of food, you have like 100 pigeons jump on it.
It's called Manhattan, dude.
Exactly.
They have it around there. That's crazy. No, obviously. And these reasons, you should just know as a side note, this is not the only reason why they're talking. The reason why they can't be eaten is because the Pasuk says they can't be eaten. This is just what the Ramban says. He adds on to it, it's over there. So it goes like this. So if so, every bird that's mentioned over here has to have some bad mitos. Even if they have good mitos attributed to them, nonetheless, they have to have something bad. So we're not going to go through all of them. Okay, the Shach Ala Torah goes through all of them. That's a pretty awesome answer. But we're not going to be able to go through all of them. Let's go through some of them. Let's try to understand what these birds are and what isn't. Now, the Nesher. That's what we're going to start off with the Nesher itself. Nesher is probably an eagle, as you mentioned before, but it may be a vulture of some sort. Tosos has a machlokus with Rashi on what exactly the translation. The word in Yiddish is Adler, so I kept seeing it from one sefer after the other. Adler is the, so if you ever see a guy named Adler, he's named after an eagle. That's what it's supposed to be altogether. Now, this Nesher is the king of all birds. It has its picture on the Kisya Kavod in Shemayim. Now, here's another question for you. How can you have a tummy bird on the Kisya Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How is that possible? It's a tummy bird. Why would you put something like that on top of that? Lion is also a kasha. Why would you put a lion on top of that? A person is fine. And then, I know, but a person is still kadosh. But nonetheless, these animals, which are tummy, you'd think wouldn't be up on the Kisya Kavod. So there's a Yaris Devash, Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz, in his first drush in Chelik Beis. Right? This Rabbi Yonis and Ibshitz, he says that the reason why is because everything down here is in land. Up there in Shamayim is Mayim, is water. It's a Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Tes that says anything that is on land has a counterpart in the sea. Anything that's not kosher on land has a counterpart in the sea that's kosher. So the Nesher of the Kisya Kavod is a water eagle. I have no idea what that is, no clue, but it is a kosher water eagle up there, and there's a kosher water lion that's up there. Don't say it's a lionfish, it's probably not. Sea lion, also not kosher. I don't know what it is, but there's a water lion and a water eagle up there. The only kosher is there's also a shore up there. So it's a not kosher shore, so it kind of kills the animals.
Why is it not kosher? Oh, right.
Yeah, because it's kosher down here, it's not kosher up there. So how could the shore be up there? That's maybe reason why Avraham Avinu changed it to a kruv, but still questions why it would be up there in the first place, regardless.
They all speak from the Maya.
You'd assume so. You'd assume so. What?
Is it kruv kosher?
Kruv. Hey, it's not about kosher. Once you get into a level of kedusha, you're kadosh. But the animals.
Like a water yakov? Like a merman?
No. That would be crazy, but no. That's a great call. No, it's not. It's not a merman. Anyways, that's that. There is a Yalkut Ruvaini that gives another answer. The Yalkut Ruvaini says that it shows that all forces of Tumah are machnia themselves to Hashem. That the reason why there are tummy animals on the Kisya Kavod is that even the Satan has to be machnia itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Yalkut Ruvaini says. Regardless, the reason we know, the way that we know, why do we think that the Nesher is the king of all birds? Why would it be? As a side note, you know, Benjamin Franklin didn't want the bald eagle to be the symbol of America. You know why he didn't want it to be the symbol of America? Because the bald eagle is well known for stealing fish from other birds, and he didn't want America to be known as the thief of all the nations. So Benjamin Franklin did not want it. He had an idea. He wanted a dolphin, if I remember. Turkey? Was that it? I think it was one of the things. I think I read it. It might have been Wikipedia, so I know I'm wrong. So there we go. We'll go with turkey. But I think it was like that. What?
The eagle was the
idol
of many nations.
Well, the Roman idol was the golden eagle, right? That was the golden eagle. Nazi Maximo also used it. It's in that movie. It's like an eagle. Oh, maybe it's not an eagle. Maybe it's a different bird. It's a movie about hunting people, and people kill each other. With kids. Yeah, that's right. Is that an eagle?
It's different.
Oh, forget it. All right, then I just made that up.
Yeah.
Go show you. Guys, we'll all watch the movie later on tonight, and we'll...
Osprey eagle?
The osprey, right. You have an osprey. You have those types of things. That maybe is the parrots over here. Who knows, dude? But where do we get it from? So where do we get the Nesher? Why do we get the Nesher over anything else? The reason why is from Eov. The Pasuk in Eov says, Imal picha yagbia Nesher. Through your mouth, the Nesher lifts those up. It's around Lamed Chas, Perek Lamed Chas. Im al picha, the last letters are Melech. Melech. That's where we get it from. Im al picha, Yagbia Nesher. That the Nesher is the king over here. The reason why it's in Sofei Tevis, says the Panach Raza, why Sofei Tevis? Why not Rosh Tevis? Is because it does something crazy at the end of his life, which we're going to say in time. Now, the Rabbeinu Bakaya brings down this Medrash over here. He says something crazy. Every 10 years, the eagle flies close to the sun, burns itself so badly that it falls to the sea, it renews itself until it's 100th year when it goes so far up to the sun it dies. Okay, the phoenix. That's clearly referring to a phoenix. Okay? That's that. So 1,000 years. But they just got off by a zero. That's fine. And thus, by the way, Nesher stands for Eish, the shin of Eish. Nofel is the Nun. And Reish stands for Ruach. I don't know how that fit in, but it's brought down by a bunch of Rishonim. So you have that. The Rabbi Bechai brings it down, the Rokeach brings that down, and they all say, that's the reason why. What are you going to say, Avi?
No, we have different things.
The Orshina, or the Chol, depending on which you're looking at. The Chol is in the Gemara, and the Orshina is brought down by the Midrashim. Yeah, that's another thing altogether. There's a Maral Diskin that's famous on the Orshina and the Chol. That's over there, yeah.
Mythology has a story of the guy who flew, made wings, and
flew up all the way up.
And he melted.
You know, I don't know. This medrash is a very strange medrash that Rabbeinu Bachaya brings. He doesn't quote where he gets it from, but I will tell you that it is strange. I'm thinking that maybe that helps us understand the bad midah of the nesher. That the midah stands for, and this is what it's referring to, it's never mistopic with what it has. It's the king of all birds. You'd think it would be happy with it, but no. It knows that going higher will destroy it, and yet it still goes higher and higher again and again, and that is its downfall. It just keeps trying to go back up when it knows it's not going to be able to make it up there. The Shach says another reason altogether. It says that we should never want to throw away. Nesher means to throw away, like leaves on the ground, the mitzvahs that we've done and wish we hadn't done them, as if they're leaves falling from a tree. And that's what we're learning from the Nesher, really from the word as opposed to the eagle itself. But nonetheless, that's the bad meat of the Nesher. Now the Oreth is the raven. It's supposed to be the epitome of cruelty. Like we say in our Halalukas, which shocks some people when I say it, Livnei Orev Asher Yikrou, to the children of the raven that call out to God. Why are the children of the raven calling out to God? Because the raven gives birth to white children, and it thinks that they're not his, they're from someone else. So they ditch the kids and they will go somewhere else. The ravens cry out to God for food. God allows there to be worms in the nest that come out for them to eat. They eat it, eventually their feathers turn black, and then the raven mother or daddy comes back and says, oh, you're my children, and comes back to it.
Is it true that the ravens are born white?
I don't want to say that. There is a type of raven that does have light colored babies, that's for sure.
Ugly duckling.
It's not well known that ravens ditch their kids. That is not well known. I don't know where that's from. Again, you have all different answers to be able to understand it, but the basic idea is that we're dealing with a medrash. There probably is a pshat behind it, and the pshat, we don't understand just yet. But the drush, and the purpose of the drush is to show us that the ravens stand for cruelty. We know the stories. We know the meisim, the orev wouldn't leave the table in order to go find anything for Noah. We know that the orev was together with its mate on top, on the teva itself, during the teva. The shach tells us that the word orev also stands for our ravus, in other words, referring to the taivas of the world, that we should not follow the taivas of the world the same way that the raven gave into the taivas and was together with whatever it was. Thus, let me know. Let me know by the orev, because there's so many different types of desires out there in this world of ours.
But
the reason. I'm sorry?
Later on, the tshuva.
You mean by Eliyahu and
Abi? Yeah.
By Eliyahu Atishbi, by bringing him food. I don't know if the raven did tshuva or that was part of its tikkun. When the raven does do tshuva, Rav Wolfson has a whole piece on this. That's when Mashiach is coming. That's when Mashiach will be here. So the raven is something, but nonetheless, you see something that's the reference, that it's referring to using your taivas in this world and not saving your schar for Olam Haba. The Paris Yosef points out in Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis says, ravens love each other. They love other ravens, which you think is a good midah, but it's saying, although they love each other, they hate every other bird. So because they hate every other bird, that shows their bad midah while showing you something good about them.
That's,
now,
that's true. You're just driven down like a street where there's a dead carcass and there are like 100 like crows around it.
Yeah.
But no other bird around. But they all congregate together.
It's also, I mean, that would be a bad meat also, eating carcasses off the ground. I don't think that would be a good meat by any of
them.
Roadkill. I mean, it's for ravens and people in the south. So, I mean, either way, it's going to be out there. Now, I know, I understand what you mean. I wasted, right. Doesn't mean you should be eating it. Oh, we got some roadkill, Ma! Totally unnecessary. Like Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel. It's unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. Either way, we're going to skip right now the Rachama. If we have time, we'll go to the Rachama, but it's already late. I don't want to go past. Next is the ostrich, the Basiana. Now, as a side note, I don't think that they're talking about an ostrich in the pasuk when it says Basiana. If there's another word that refers to an ostrich good, they may be referring to a bird that now is extinct called the elephant bird. Every medrash that describes the Basiana and tells about certain types of things that the Basiana has, it doesn't seem to apply to an ostrich, but it definitely applies by an elephant bird. What is an elephant bird, you ask? I don't know, it's a massive bird. Massive. It's much bigger than the ostrich. 1700, 1600, something like that. Somewhere around then. They are huge birds. They look like a big, massive dodo bird. I mean, if it looks that dumb, you know, eventually it's going to die. It's just, they knew. But it really is a fat, fat bird. And they also had massive eggs, bigger than ostrich eggs. Most probably that's referring to. Now, why is it called Basiana? The answer is because there's a bunch of reasons. But the reason why it's called Basiana is because, number one, the eggs are not able to be eaten. Chulin tells us, the Gemara in Chulin and Samach Dalet says, here, it tells us that all eggs of non-kosher birds are also not able to be eaten. So you can't eat ostrich eggs. So even though there are farms throughout San Diego and all around the West Coast that are raising ostriches for ostrich eggs, which are supposed to be awesome and everything like that, we can't eat them because they come from tummy birds. So we're not allowed to eat them whatsoever. I'm sorry? sorry?
But if it's not the ostrich?
No, for sure the ostrich is included. It just doesn't seem that the main bird is referring to an ostrich. Like, for example, you got emu, rheas, cassowaries, right? Again, pulling out the geek card for the third time tonight, I'm just saying. The emus, rheas, cassowaries, penguins, ostriches, they're probably all there. The dodo bird, they're all around in this category, Batiana, even if it's not referring to. Yeah. Dodo bird's also a pretty awesome bird, you know?
Wouldn't it be okay to eat
it? Dodos?
Is it a dog? Would it be in the dog family?
I don't think it's in the dog. I mean, yeah, that's what the scientists put it in. The dove family. But are we referring to, yeah, flightless birds usually are going to be inferred, but who knows? You know what? Maybe a penguin is kosher. When Mashiach comes, he's going to be like, who wants emperor penguin? Are we like, oh, I've been waiting my whole life for this. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But you know that it's going
to
be cool. What?
Have to go out of the zoo.
No. But can you imagine going to the zoo and just being like, we're going to take one now? They only cost $28, by the way, if you want to buy them on eBay. So either way, regardless, Ruchaim Kanievsky says, yeah, you can buy penguins. There was a guy who wanted to buy a penguin, and he looked it up, and he found one, but it cost a lot for shipping. But it's $28 to buy a penguin. What?
Are they good?
I would highly doubt it. It's a penguin.
There's a book about it.
Very good. Very good. Anyway, regardless, Ruchaim Kanievsky asks why here and not any other bird, and the answer is because ostrich eggs, people eat them. They're well known for food, and that's the reason why it's specifically this is used, right, and like that. The Ibn Ezra says a little bit differently. Ostriches, when they get older, seem to harden, and their flesh is not as good. When they're younger, and especially the females, then their flesh is softer and able to be eaten, and it's good meat. So therefore, it's called the Batiana. Now, it happens to be that older ostriches are also eaten. Maybe they have to be cooked a long time. Maybe they didn't have the ability or the processes to be able to cook it back in the day. Just their ovens weren't hot enough, or they couldn't land it for long enough. Regardless, it doesn't matter. We always said it was not kosher, so it doesn't matter. In Eicha, Perek Dalet Pasuk Gimel, it says that we as a nation were as cruel as a Yana. That we're as cruel as a Yana. Now, the Pardes Yosef says its cruelty is that it doesn't rear its young. It lays eggs in the ground and then puts little leaves on them to warm them up and then ditches the young. And they come back like once in a while, but they allow it to just sort of live on its own and they don't really bring them up. That's what the Medrash says over there. And it's a side note, the Yavetz writes that they used to hang ostrich eggs in the middle of Shoal so people would be able to concentrate better on their davening. He said it was a skula for doing so. That's a crazy Ivitz, right? It's in the sitter that you're saying ostrich eggs in the shoal. I'm assuming those ostrich eggs did not last very long in the summer. And I'm pretty sure that people tried to get away. But maybe it was the shells. The shells are a pretty color. They're white with like little dots on it. You know, so maybe it's like that. And so maybe they have stuff like that. They're already like hardened and stuff like that. Either way, it's like that. Now, the famous one is the chasida. We're going to end with this. We got a lot about the chasida, but I won't say all of it. Rashi says that the reason why it's called the chasida is it says, it does chasidus with its friends when it comes to food. It likes giving its friend food. So it gives out to other people. Now that sounds great, right? So what's the problem with that? I mean, why is that an not kosher bird? It's got a great mida. The Chiddush Arim says the reason why is because it's only doing chesed with its friends. It won't do chesed with any other bird or anything that it doesn't deem to be its friend. And therefore it's tame. So always not have friends. What's the lesson?
Well, you know what I'm going to say.
I know. You have to. I just want to see if you say it. The chesed that a person has to do is constantly, is to be able to understand where everybody is coming from and to be able to give chesed not only to the people that are like you, but give chesed to others as well that are not of your ilk. That is the idea behind it. There's Yerushalmi B'Metzia, Perek Gimel Halacha Hey, that brings down that mice always call out to other mice when they find something to eat. If they find something to eat, then they'll call to the other mice. And yet, still, they're called Rishi. Says Yerushalmi, they're still called Rishayim. Why is that? That's what Tosefes Bracha says. Tosefes Bracha is Rav Baruch Epstein. He was the author of Torah Tamima. He writes, because they only call their friends to eat with them if they see a ton of food. If they don't see a ton of food, if you're Medayik in the Yerushalmi, it says, if they see a lot of food, then they call to their friends to come eat with them. But if there isn't, then they take it for themselves. They don't share when there isn't enough food. They only share if they have a lot of food. The same concept as the Chasida. It's a Rasha for not doing what it should be doing when it comes to Chesed. When it's inconvenient for them, they don't do Chesed. When it's convenient, then they'll do Chesed, and that's the idea behind it. And it's the same thing with the Arba Mitzorayim. You guys know the story, the four Mitzorayim that were outside? It's coming up in the Haftorah. I think it's Mitzorah. where Gehazi and his three sons in the Mitzrayim, and there's a whole army outside of the Shomron trying to seize the Shomron, and then all of a sudden they disappear in the middle of the night. They hear a big noise and they all disappear in the middle of the night, and Gehazi and the three Mitzrayim go out there and they see all this the plunder and everything and all the food, and they go eating and drinking, and then all of a sudden somebody gets up and they're like, hey, we should tell the people in the city they're starving, we should go there. Yeah, you might have thought of that at first. All the people in the city are starving and eating their horses, and and you guys are sitting out there like having eating in that. That's the concept of not thinking about others. The Ishbitzer says sometimes it's usher to have mercy on certain people that are not deserving of rachamim, that do bad things and are cruel people. You cannot show kindness to them. It would be usher. Adam she'ein bodea usher l'rachim loves the Gemara Pesachim and Memtes. You can't have rachamim on somebody who has no das if he doesn't do it, if he doesn't deserve it. The chasida has mercy to its friends even if they don't deserve it. And that's not the meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a good meat. So we have three answers so far why it's called the chasida, even though it gives food. Because either, number one, it only gives its friends, or it gives its friends even if they don't deserve it, or because it only calls its friends to eat when it has enough to be able to do so. Okay, that's that. The other we've shown him, like the Panach Raza says, a very strange reason. It's brought down. Panach Raza, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Rokeach, the Baal HaTorim mentioned something like this. There's a lot of crazy stuff about this. Not in the Baal HaTorim in the Chumash. It's Baal HaTorim in the Sefer, the separate Sefer altogether. It says the following. The Panach Raza says it gives a miser of its children, and it sacrifices 1 out of 10 of its kids. I don't know what that means. It does not explain it any further than that. I'm assuming it means it gives it to sort of like die as like a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on that, the Be'er Mayim Chaim says that shows its unbelievable cruelty, that it's killing one of its kids thinking that it's doing the right thing. In the same reasoning, the Shach says that the Chasida stands for a Chasid Shoten, the type of guy who sees a woman drowning in the river and says, oy vey, I can't look, and therefore lets her drown and die. That's a Chasid Shoten. That's what the Chasida is, thinking that it's doing the right thing when it's totally off, completely off and not doing the right way. We're going to end with this Tzioni over here. The Tzioni is a Kabbalistic staple. I'm sorry?
Do we know what it is?
Probably a stork, but there's no good translation. The Tzioni is a type of Kabbalistic staple. He's one of the Talmidim of the Arizal. He says an adulterer who died after committing his sin without being punished for what he did will be misgelgil into a chasida. He will have this gilgal into a chasida. Why? Because apparently the chasida, after being together with another animal, whether it's mate or whatever it is tovel in a river. It dips itself inside a river. So it goes to the mikvah after doing something wrong. So the chasida is the gilgul, says the tzioni, of these types of people. Now, on the other hand, the Tosefis Bracha brings down that he read in a nature book that storks, I don't know if he's referring to a stork, I don't think so, but regardless, there's a bird that migrates every year to warmer climates, and when they come back to their breeding grounds, they come back with the same mate every year, and they never cheat on their mate, and they're never together with any other birds. Female and male, whatever this bird is, mate for life. And they're always like that. And thus, it would make sense, he doesn't bring it down for the Tzioni, but it makes sense now that the Tzioni is bringing down the reason why this bird is the gilgal of that person, the adulterer, because the adulterer wouldn't act that way. So he's misgalgal into a chasida that is that way, that acts with tzneus and precious, even though it has other issues, but that part is something that's around here. But, you know, it's a darshan and gilgulim, you need to be a special person or an idiot, so it's one of the two. So we're not going to darshan and stuff like that, we're just going to keep it as is. So we spoke about number one, the difference not translating the birds is going through all the different species of birds. We went through the Ramban and the Ravina Bachaya, why these birds specifically are usher. We went through the Nesher, the Orev, we skipped the Racham, meaning whatever that bird is. We went through the Ostrich, and then the Basiana, and then the Chasida. Those are the birds that we went through. There are others. I have a whole other sheet over here that goes through a bunch of others over here, but yeah, we're not going to get to them right now. But guys, everybody should have a great Shabbos.